you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Here you go, Matt. Here you go, Danny.
Afternoons on the Score.
Oh, just because we respect the Olympics.
How much are you guys watching? Because the country seems to be watching in huge numbers. The ratings are best they've been in over a decade.
I love that. I'm watching every chance that I get. Right now, men's volleyball is on here in the studio. And yesterday in the afternoon, there were Olympics on in my house. I'm often going double screen, even if it means, you know, a ball game on the iPad with the sound down as the wife and I watch the Olympics. I'm taking in a lot. You?
Not a ton, but it's hitting the same threshold that it always hits for me. If I'm watching, I'm loving it. I should watch more. It's a peripheral thing. It's a background thing. But I have not spent hours at a time in prime time in front of the Olympics. But when I've watched here or there, I mean, absolutely loving it. When the guy on the team gymnastics for Team USA with the glasses did the pommel horse routine, and you could tell when he was getting ready to do the dismount that he knew that he had done a good enough job, and that was the only reason he was there. He was just, his job was to do the pommel horse.
Pommel horse guy.
And he was the pommel horse guy, and he's literally wearing glasses. And he's basically smiling at the end of his routine before he even sticks the dismount because he knew the hard part was over and that he had secured a medal for the team. And he stuck the landing, and his whole teammates completely mob him and go insane, and his parents are in the crowd. It's great TV.
That's really
great.
Katie Ledecky there to cheer on her teammates.
Yeah.
You know, cheer on the men's swimmers as she's there watching after another triumphant Olympics for her.
Well, when her in the 1500, when they can do the pictures of the pool and it looks like she's the only person in the pool.
That's pretty good.
That is absolutely ridiculous level of dominance.
And then I know badminton was the sport that you called out as possibly being the one that you could play.
I was wondering what the one I was closest to being an Olympian at, and I remember being pretty good in fourth grade badminton.
I watched it yesterday.
No, they're much better than
I watched the guy from Thailand against the guy from Malaysia. Yeah, it's a completely different sport than any badminton that we've ever played.
Definitely. They're really good.
Oh my goodness.
This is going to come as a surprise. They're Olympians.
Did you see the ping pong snake shot? You see the snake shot guy?
Snake shot guy.
From Sweden. He had what's called a snake shot where he hits it from underneath the table. Like it has to be a perfect setup. And the guy hit one that was soft enough, they could hit it from underneath the table. And because the racket is underneath the table view, the opposing player can't tell what spin you're putting on it. Because that's the whole thing.
Oh, sure.
So he hit the shot, and then the guy, the opposing player, waits for it to land, but he had so much backspin on it that it bounced back, basically over the net and off the side of the table, so the guy couldn't even
get
it.
Cost himself a point.
Yeah, no. It landed on the opponent's side, but then bounced back. Impossible for the guy to return.
Oh, because the guy has to touch it in order for it to be a point.
And okay, so there was so much backspin. They both laughed. They're in the Olympics playing table tennis, and the shot was so ridiculous that they both stopped and laughed in the middle of it. That's how good that guy was at a snake shot, apparently. It's crazy.
It's the pressure of it. That's what it is. It's that I can tune into something, and it's they're obscure to you and me because we watch Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, things that have 17 games, 82 games, 162 games, and they're all on national TV, and they're all millionaires.
Sure. And we've gotten good at discerning which games matter, which games don't, when there's pressure, when there's not.
Right. And then for this, it's, I've been a gymnast since I was 4. Now I'm 22. By the time I'm 26, I'm going to be too old. This is my one shot ever at the uneven bars in the Olympics. And the parents of this girl are mic'd up and they're not even cheering. They're just so clearly tense. Like, stick it, twist,
yeah,
be there, come on, get it. And then she sticks the landing, and they're not even, it is just pure relief.
Okay.
Like, it's just pure relief. The tension that goes into it is so palpable on the screen, because it's the biggest moment of their lives to this point, and they will never get another shot.
I will give you that, of course, the pressure. I will give you that. I'd like to add to that. That it, for me, it is also just seeing the excellence at something I barely understand. Like, I'm slowly getting an understanding of what the actual skills are in the badminton. Like, why don't they just let the shuttlecock go? Or the birdie. Why don't they just let it go? Because it's going to land out. Oh, no. They realize that most of the time, it just stops going backwards and just floats straight down and lands in, and you're screwed. So it becomes this completely different perception idea than I had any understanding of. Like, I'm watching team handball, like, these guys are great at it. Oh, that's right, you can't go inside that area. Oh, that's right, they can physically grab an offensive player and just kind of shove him. There's a lot of shoving that goes on in team handball. Like, what
very
are
violent.
What are the rules again?
Yes.
And they're this good. So it's like I'm simultaneously appreciating the excellence as I'm also learning the sport. For the most part.
I completely agree. I don't find it to be a relaxing watch. I'm serious. Like, because of the pressure, I'm like, my hands get a little clammy. Like, I've teared up at moments. Like, I am just as likely to be, I'm more likely to tear up or be tense than I am to, like, cheer and be patriotic. Because, yeah, I'm like rooting for Team USA because may as well. But it's really, I'm rooting for excellence.
Yeah, you're rooting for excellence.
But the relief on these people's faces, or the sense of accomplishment, or the
Man,
joy.
It's interesting.
Like, I find it to be the Olympics elicits a lot of emotion, and it's not all pure enjoyment and happiness. It is like tension, sadness, relief.
Wow. Like, it's interesting because usually we're flipped on this. You're much more emotionally involved as you watch than I am. I'm finding myself like, I watched a good 40 minutes of field hockey, men's field hockey, the other day, and I barely understood what was happening. I kept watching as like a curiosity experiment. And I was going down the rabbit hole of like, do they even hit it with the back of the stick? How are they doing this and trying to figure it out? And then the swag after they've scored a goal of like, I believe them that they're awesome. I just don't exactly understand why.
I think it's the gymnastics in particular. Because it's like team handball, team volleyball, field hockey. You know, you're out there with a team. It's a scoreboard, win or lose.
Yeah.
This is like you're alone on this balance beam, literally being judged with your parents in the crowd, mic'd up, and all of your teammates. And this is your one shot.
Mm-hmm.
If you mess it up, it's over.
How about your guy Scottie Scheffler crying with a gold medal? It's like a golfer who's dealt with that kind of pressure at a million different events, but something about Olympic gold being around his neck made him think about it in a different way. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, because he's the whole guy. His whole thing is that my life is not defined by me as a golfer. How much money I make, how many majors I win, any of that. It's not. It doesn't define me. It's about how he's got a newborn and his wife. And he's like them.
He's got a God. He's got a big relationship with God.
Right. But then he sucks. Because, yeah, man, winning's emotional. Did you see Tom Kim, the golfer from South Korea? People assigned it to him, but he double bogeyed and he missed the podium, the medal stand. If he had won a medal, he would have been exempt from mandatory military service. Cool. You have to do mandatory military service before the age of 28, and he's 26. So he has two more chances in international competition because I don't know if it's the Pan Am Games or like whatever the other one is.
Hunger Games.
Counts to get him. And he said that that was not why he was crying.
The Hunger Games have a bigger goal, like that's a higher.
That's in North Korea.
There's a higher aspiration in the Hunger Games.
He said he was like, no, that's not why I was crying. I felt like I had let my country down, and I was mad at my own disappointment. So shockingly, the internet, you know, and aggregators got something wrong.
Was it Wicked Games, Shane? Is that what it was? The Wicked Games.
But think about the stakes. This guy, you par 18. Forget about mandatory military service. Congratulations on your bronze medal. You double bogey 18. In a couple of years, you might have to take some time off from the PGA Tour to join the South Korean military. The stakes attached to these sports.
Those stakes are high. It's kind of like those T-bones on the roof. You know what I mean?
Those are high stakes.
All
right.
That's right.
All right, well,
can I admit some frustration, though, on the Olympic front?
Please.
I thought
we're all being vulnerable here.
I thought that the Xfinity experience, and I enjoy my Xfinity sports app. I enjoy my on-demand experience, like the whole thing. But I thought my Olympic experience was going to be cleaner and better and more a la carte in terms of, like, I go to the individual sports, but it doesn't really let me access watching them once things have aired, and I thought it was going to. Like, I admittedly am deeply spoiled by having every song in the history of mankind available at a whim, okay? And having every baseball game that has already been played available in terms of a full game or a condensed game, all those kind of things. I thought I would have that same level of control with my Olympic viewing experience. About 5:30 last night, and I hadn't seen the men's 100-meter final. And I'm sitting there with Rue, and I'm like, this is what I want to watch. It's like one of the ultimate events, and it was great and crazy final and an announcing thing.
Yeah, we'll get to it in a second.
All of it. So, like, I thought I'd be able to just go and watch it, and I was not. Maybe it's because they were holding it for prime time.
That is exactly why.
Bastards.
Because you could have watched it live during the day, and then they air it in primetime.
So in between, I'm in the netherworld.
You pull up YouTube?
I did not, Danny.
Okay.
Should have done that.
Yeah. My guess
but I've
is
got everything there on the C app. I hit the C button.
But you could stream the YouTube right to your TV.
Yeah, I could. That's true.
Yeah. I think that would have worked for you.
All right, that's a good call.
I think that would have been there for you.
And here I was, a couple weeks ago, I was the wizard when there was a tornado warning. I put the Home Run Derby on the ESPN app on my phone and cast that to the TV. You know,
Gold Zone through Peacock? Because that's cool, too.
No, I haven't done that either.
You'll love it.
See?
Yeah. That's the.
So maybe I'm just doing it wrong.
I think you're doing it wrong, buddy. I think you're doing it wrong. You gotta go to their app.
Here's one. Gold Zone on Peacock is amazing. Peacock speaks needs Peacock. Peacock knuckleheads. All right, great.
That's that. Yeah. But listen, that, by the way,
whatever you're
not
people,
you're not a complete knucklehead.
I mean, I'm pretty largely a knucklehead.
But this that does speak to the difficulty of the sports fan in the segmented world of, you know, everything's on an app and streaming, and every network has its own streaming app. It is confusing, but yeah, the Gold Zone experience has been pretty good.
Man,
here is the broadcast of Noah Lyles becoming the fastest man in the world, and yeah, a tough moment.
There's an Olympic gold medal waiting for somebody who wants it the most. Now Thompson starts to wind up. Curley's going with him. This is close. Jamaica's going to do it. Kishane Thompson is a gold medalist on debut.
We thought it was going to take 9.7 to win. Guess what he just ran? 9.78.
Come on, man!
But it was a lean at the tape by Thompson. Visually, we think he got it. They're working on the photo.
Fred Curley pushed him all the way. Noah Lyles is looking anxiously. It's Noah Lyles! And it had to go to a photo finish to decide it.
Oh, so yeah, he had the wrong winner of a huge and important event.
Jamaica's gonna do it! Kishane Thompson is a gold medalist!
You sure about that? You sure about that?
It's Noah Lyles!
Lead Diffie, the NBC broadcaster.
Yeah.
It's not a pretty significant event. It's the most significant event.
Yeah.
Fastest man in the world, 100-meter dash, biggest event of the Summer Olympics. Yes?
I mean,
everyone in agreement on that?
I suppose that team basketball has now, you know, but in terms of an individual event.
There's more star power there, but yeah. In terms of an actual, like, pure Olympic event.
Yeah, fastest man in the world.
Fastest man in the world. That's the biggest event. It's the hottest ticket. I mean, it was the hottest ticket when Usain Bolt was there. Obviously, yes. Noah Lyle's not the same level
of
celebrity.
It's Carl Lewis. It's Usain Bolt. It's Jesse Owens.
It's the event. That is the event of the Summer Olympics.
And how do we know that, like, truly he's the fastest man in the world? He hasn't beaten all of us.
That's true. That's true. Should get a chance to answer.
Did you see the Photoshop that someone did? It's not Photoshop because it's moving, but they put Tony La Russa running out to argue with a call with the umpire.
That's funny.
And La Russa beat him.
You think Tony would be faster now running to the dugout to get his job back? And then he was going to check on Abreu?
I don't think he wants it. He's the shadow president of the entire
thing. He's got a bigger title right now. Guys, let's not let the White Sox derail our Olympic conversation. Come on, we're talking about winners here. We're talking about medalists.
You know what I learned, by the way, over the you know what I learned yesterday? It's the clavicle. The clavicle is what they measure. Did you hear that?
Well, it's not the foot. It's your torso has to get across.
Yeah, it's like usually they're leaning, so it's that part of your torso. It's the highest part of your torso that's leaning. So
that gets across.
It's technically the clavicle that it's not the head either.
I didn't know that.
It's the clavicle.
I didn't know. Yeah. That's fascinating.
You're welcome.
But to Shane's point, actually, I don't know, man, because 0.03 seconds slower, Noah Lyles, not only not the fastest man in the world, doesn't even medal. Between first and eighth was 0.12 seconds. So I don't know.
The 99 meter dash, he loses.
The 99-meter dash he loses.
The 101-meter dash.
I don't know. But how about if they just ran it again?
Let's run it twice.
0.12 seconds between first and eighth? 0.03 seconds between first and fourth?
Yeah, it's too close.
That's way too close. I guess he was the fastest man in the world on that day at that time in that race, which is the only one that matters. But it does kind of feel like it should be best of seven.
what's that's interesting.
Best
of three.
0.03 between fastest man in the world and you don't get a medal. 0.03 seconds. That is ridiculous.
So if you try to do a best of three, what if you had three different winners? Then you have the three of them compete
in
a race?
Then there is no fastest man in the world.
There's got to be one.
The lowest combined time gets the gold medal.
What's the move there for Lee Diffie, by the way? He's got to say, too close to call, and give up the idea of absolutely nailing it and having it perfectly. Right? I mean, he's got to, you can't. He's not going to know. He's got to say too close to call. But in this world of instant gratification, everybody's trying to be first, and everybody's trying to nail the moment. That's a tough spot. It's a very tough spot.
It's a really, really tough spot. Well, because there's, you know this. Do you know the story of Mac Robinson?
Mac Robinson. No, I don't.
Jackie Robinson's older brother.
Oh, yeah. Sprinter.
Silver medalist. In the 1936 Olympics.
To Jesse Owens.
He also shattered the record. But nobody knew who the guy was.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse Owens shatters the record, becomes world famous Jesse Owens. His younger brother, Jackie Robinson, world famous Jackie Robinson.
Yeah.
This guy shatters the world record, but just slower than Jesse Owens. Brother to Jackie Robinson, nobody knows his name.
Hmm.
That is crazy.
Yeah, it is.
0.03 seconds, fastest man in the world, fourth place. That to me is what I'm talking about. That's the cruelty of the Olympics.
Yeah,
I get stressed watching it.
I just feel like such an idiot for not going on to Peacock and not knowing that. As we are in the sports in the knowledge acquisition business,
sure.
It's gonna take me a while to feel less like an idiot. I'm gonna need some time here, guys. Have I ever been right about anything or smart about anything to your knowledge on this show in anything that you think of?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, there had to be something.
Guess not. But I mean, seriously, like, that's an L. Isn't that a big L? To be sitting there and not knowing how to watch stuff?
If you were actively trying.
I was.
Do you have Peacock?
Yes.
Well, then, yeah, that's a pretty big L.
That's a terrible. I mean, I'm embarrassed.
I don't care how many L's we got this year.
That's also just not being an adult. Like right. Check all your options.
Well, and
don't just see the first one didn't work and then be like, well,
yeah,
my day's ruined.
I thought it was in that weird spot you used to be in the NCAA tournament between the afternoon games and the night games. And they're just, well, I got nothing.
Like, where's Greg Gumbel to change the channel for me?
Right.
And if you've watched 6 minutes of these Olympics, they're pretty aggressively promoting the Peacock app.
That's the part that I feel stupid about.
You should have tweeted it, Speaks. Put it out there on Twitter for people to...
I don't really use Twitter much anymore.
He's been locked out of his account.
I have.
That's tough, buddy. Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It's tough.
It's tough when you just feel like just an absolute buffoon, you know?
Well...
Now I know how Shriffin feels.
Oh, the Shrifter.
Okay, I just talked about us not making it personal.
I couldn't help it. I just couldn't help it.
The Shrifter. Well, it might make you feel better to talk... About, no, it won't. It's one of the baseball teams. Parkinson Spiegel, The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Honored to be on their show earlier today. Danny and Matt do an excellent job interviewing people.
Afternoons on The Score.
And the pitch to Arenado. Fly ball, shallow center. Horner going out and calling. Nico's there. And it falls in for a base hit. Crow Armstrong came in. There was confusion between Horner and Crow Armstrong. And the ball game is tied 4-4. Nico looked like he was calling, and then he thought that he heard Crow Armstrong calling him off. So Nico bailed out, and Crow Armstrong then belatedly tried to make a running shoestring catch and could not do it. And the ball game is tied at 4.
Oh no!
Yeah.
Dude, that inning was so brutal. That eighth inning collapse on Saturday, and things had been floating along with the offense, with Paredes and Bellinger out there together. Nico saying, as you'd noted last week, this is the best version of us yet.
Well, the offense, I mean, this is what I'm struggling with, because the games feel meaningless.
Let me interrupt for a second, because that was the point about Saturday. You were starting for, I think, the final time, really, at least for people that I was interacting with, to really maybe believe them. Maybe they're going on this magical run. Maybe it's happening, because the offense was happening. They looked like they were about to take their third against the Cardinals. And then that thing was just it was a sadistic punch in the gut, because the defense had been good. Then the defense falls apart and the bullpen, it falls apart. And that loss Saturday was mean. It was mean to anybody who had reinvested, to the point that last night's win doesn't even feel like anything. So I think we're back to a state of mostly emptiness. But Saturday it had gotten to a possible meaning.
But that, to me, that's too zoomed in, because like if they win 4 of 5 the rest of the way, then that's going to be more than enough to win a wild card.
But I'm zoomed in.
I know, but what I'm saying is that, like, Jed said that how the offense performs in August and September will matter. And so far, it's performing well. The fewest runs they've scored was in that Saturday loss, and it was still 4. It wasn't a shutout. The other wins, 6 runs, 6 runs, 5 runs, and 13 runs. So in the last 5 games, they've won 4 of them, and the offense has been good enough to win in all 5 out of 5 games. So Jed is watching the games with meaning through the prism of the offense. It's hard for me to watch the games with meaning through the prism of, 8.5 games out of the division, 6 teams in front of them for a wild card spot, and the impossibility of separating. Are they performing better because they're out of their 2-month slump, or are they performing better because the pressure is off? It means less if you perform well in games that don't matter.
Yeah, I guess I don't believe that the pressure is off. I think they're still driving it hard, and they're still trying to win and feeling.
So you will look at these games like they are games when they're in the thick of a pennant race, or in the thick of, you know, at the beginning of this season.
I don't know if I'll look at it that way. I know that there is a level of emotional investment still for them.
I do too.
Yeah, I don't look at this as officially eliminated, because, you know, or because they're not. So yeah, I don't look at it as completely out of it, because the calendar still says they have a shot. It does. Like, at the deadline, the Diamondbacks and the Rangers were on the fringes of the wild card race last year, and they made their charges and made the freaking World Series.
They've got a 7% chance to make the playoffs, according to FanGraphs.
I know. But, and Jed can look at that, and we can certainly look at that as talkers, but if you are zoomed in and you're living it day to day, I felt a level of investment again, of like, oh, maybe this is possible. Maybe this is just a little bit possible. Like and against my better interests, because it had just started to look so damn good. And there was on the precipice of winning, of maybe trying to sweep the Cardinals. So look, in terms of judging the offense and the big picture stuff, but I'm saying Saturday, I still felt zoomed in. I absolutely still felt zoomed in.
I guess what I'm saying is, if you felt zoomed in Saturday and then they came back and won on Sunday, taking 3 of 4 is still great.
Yeah, it is.
Like, if it matters, taking 3 of 4 is great.
Yep, Saturday left a mark. Okay, so
that's putting more of an emphasis on one loss than 3 wins, which is not terribly logical.
But I have the entire season to go along with the one loss.
But that's zoomed out.
Uh-huh.
So you're assigning a bunch of weight to the whole season on the loss. And I'm not. This isn't like a gotcha thing. This is an. I genuinely don't know. I am putting less value on these performances because it feels out of sight, out of mind. Like. I know they are professionals, and they still have, you know.
But what's out of sight? The games,
the playoffs, the games themselves, the relevance, the talking, the attention in the city, the pressure.
Gotcha. It's not out of sight for me. Maybe that's it. In terms of, like, I had a Sunday show to prep for. I'm watching and thinking about it, and it, like, I think there does become a split. You know, when a baseball season feels lost, where it is out of sight for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's not out of sight for me just yet. But it's just not.
I'm wondering what, like.
That's the source of this tension in this conversation.
Yeah, I think so. And because Jed said he is going to be evaluating these last 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if they perform well, it will make him feel better heading into this offseason, that the offensive slump was an aberration. And I would say, okay, reasonable-ish, but if they perform well and still finish under 500 and miss the playoffs by a healthy margin, so then none of the games in September really come with a lot of pressure attached to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's an opportunity to confirm what he believes and maybe not make enough moves.
And in legitimately meaningless baseball games. Not meaningless for the guys back at the baseball card, or a contract incentive, mm-hmm. or an arbitration hearing or whatever. But in terms of whether they win or lose the game, they are rapidly approaching, if they're not there yet, the game's not meaning anything.
Yeah, they're approaching that. They're not there yet. They're not there yet, and it's like,
but
they've backed themselves to the point that, like, all they need, like, a 10-game winning streak or a 12-game winning streak to have any possibility, but those things do happen in baseball. Hell, 20-game losing streaks happen yet. So I'm not there to simply evaluate based on the big picture. I find myself still looking at the very, very slim chance. So, you know, it's weird, man. This season has messed with me. This season has absolutely messed with me along the way, because it's just
it's weird, and the whole sport is in a place where, like, the margin of error is just so freaking thin. The difference between so many of these teams is, like, it's just so small, the difference between decent and bad. It's unbelievably narrow. It's always been more narrow than every sport, but it feels even more narrow now. And I don't know if the extra wild card is a net positive on the experience of the baseball season. I really don't. Like, it's rendered the buyer's seller thing at the deadline to be much less binary than it used to be in terms of a conversation where it's just, and this is what counsel was saying yesterday, is like, it's an opportunity to make a transaction. You know, it's just like, it's not, it, because they didn't buy or sell. And we spent so much time about whether they were going to buy or sell, and a lot of teams didn't necessarily buy or sell. They kind of tried to do a little bit of both and mix and match.
I think for the business of baseball, having more teams be in it is why they do it.
Yeah,
and because you saw a thing like the Diamondbacks happen, where you get in and then you make a run all the way to the World Series.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I don't know if it's producing a better experience or not. I find the deadline kind of transformed, and you have so much time of, like, waiting. Are they going to make deals or not? Well, they got to wait till the draft. Remember how many times Jed told us we got to wait till the draft?
Yeah.
Maybe the calendar's stupid. Maybe the entire baseball calendar is stupid in that way, and the draft ought to be in August after the deadline. I mean, you know, it's like, maybe they ought to do it that way, so that, and move the deadline up and move the draft later. So because that, if that really is the case,
well,
if
you move the deadline up, even fewer teams will sell.
What I want is more incentive for teams to get aggressive earlier in a year, because I firmly do believe that if the Cubs had added a bat and added a reliever, regardless of what I thought at the time, if they'd added a bat and added a closer, I think the season could have been very different. I think we'll look back and think that. I certainly think it right now.
Let's hear how Boog Shambi handled the Nico Horner, Pete Crow Armstrong miscommunication, because we have a new submission into our very valuable collection of oh no's.
In the air, center field, Horner is out. PCA. Oh no! And we're tied up at 4-4.
It's a pretty good oh no.
It's almost too, like, celebratory and excited.
Oh no!
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost a little too, he's almost too happy to be oh knowing.
Oh no!
It's a conflict. I don't know what to do with that.
He knows it's insane.
Yeah.
He knows it is unequivocally crazy. Listen to the fans too, man. I don't like how many Cardinals fans are cheering at that point.
In the air, center field, Horner is out. PCA. No. Oh no.
Oh.
And we're tied up at 4-4.
That's a loud batch of Cardinals fans,
yeah,
at Wrigley Field on a Saturday.
There's, man, a lot of them.
Woo!
There's
that's
certainly
loud.
A lot of,
yeah,
them.
Yeah, not sad enough. You're right.
In the air, center field, Horner is out. PCA.
Oh, no! No!
That feels false.
Thank you, Shrift Dog.
That feels
that's the
phony.
Tone. That's the tone that I want my own nose to have.
I like Owen. Owen's...
Center field, Horner is out. PCA.
Oh no.
See,
yeah,
that,
yeah, that's, yeah, the best one for sure. Yeah, although Max, right, is pretty good.
Max is,
yeah,
good.
In the air, center field, Horner is out. PCA.
Oh no.
Yeah.
What was Owen's oh no again? Did he drop something during picks? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Like Fruit Loops or something?
Yeah, 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 okay. I think he dropped his, like, spoon or something.
That's right.
During the picks.
Yeah, well, I mean, you dropped the spoon. I mean,
you're, God, dumbass.
Yeah.
Hold on to it with your little tiny kid fingers.
Yeah,
dude.
I think it was 2 at the time of the oh no, maybe 3.
Speaking of dumbass, can I tell this texter to go screw? I was talking about how, like, I was really upset that with myself that I hadn't been able to find the Olympics on Peacock.
And this guy texted in and said, a search for Olympic streaming took a whopping 5 seconds. Pretty lazy, or dare I say stupid. Sorry, Speegs, but my five-year-old told me he knew where it was. It's Scott in Woodstock. Hey, Scott, bite me. All right, buddy? I'm already feeling down. I share that in a vulnerable moment, and you come in kicking me harder than even before.
I got you, Speegs. Scott, if your five-year-old can find it, maybe you should give that kid a little bit less screen time and do some parenting.
There it is.
Thank
Get
you,
him
Shane.
Outside.
Thank you.
Play fetch with him.
God, calling me lazy, yeah. Dare I say stupid.
Fetch is a great game with your kids.
God, Scott.
As is running laps, and how fast can you get from there to here? Can you do it faster just to tire them out? Shoto and the stopwatch on my phone.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Can you run 3 laps around the kitchen
that's
in 30
tremendous.
Seconds?
That's tremendous.
And he's like, yeah, I definitely can. And then hit the start and stop with the stopwatch, and then uh-huh. he does it, and I'm like, I don't know, buddy. That was pretty close. You think you could do it faster? He's like, I could definitely. And all of a sudden, he's run 9 laps around the house.
Hey, Owen, can you and Eli do the Oklahoma drill for Daddy real quick?
Anything to tire these maniacs out. I swear to God, they're never tired.
How fast can you nap? Huh? Can you play the quiet game? Can you be quiet for an hour?
Oh, and when's the last time you took a dent out of a car? You want to give that a shot?
Here, grab this boiling water. What kind of plunger is that?
Dad, this plunger is too nice.
This part of the car is too dense,
Your
Dad.
Car's too dense. The Urban Gray is nice, though.
Need that validation from Owen.
I really do. I really do. I'm not getting it anywhere else. It's Parkinson Spiegel at the Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Are you kidding me? Tune in to Twitch.
Afternoons on the Score.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
Let me tell you, Danny Parkins, that the folks from the wall, where we're going to be tomorrow in Gurnee, they came over and they made delicious smash burgers, and that is among the offerings that will be there tomorrow. They had thin crust pizza that they made from scratch themselves, and then whatever those chocolate chip cookies were in like the circular form, the big ones in the foil pan. Oh my God, those were good. But like 2 or 3 different varietals of smash burgers. And that place, I can't wait to see that place tomorrow. And I hope tons of our listeners come over to Salo at Marcus Gurnee Cinemas, The Wall. It's like an elevated sports bar with all of the bells and whistles of the modern movie theater experience. It looks like it's going to be awesome.
Yep, it's free to get in. We'll be doing the show from there. You can take a shot on Golden Tee at a hole-in-one, and if you get it, you qualify for a shot to win at your own Golden Tee machine at your spot, and they're going to be airing the Hard Knocks premiere at 8 o'clock. So we'll be there 2 to 6. We're staying for a little meet and greet after the show at 6 o'clock. Then, of course, the Hard Knocks premiere. They're doing the Golden Tee contest from 7 to 8. They're doing that every Tuesday leading into Hard Knocks. So if you can't come tomorrow, just go to episodes in the future, the next 4 Tuesdays, Hard Knocks episodes, that sort of thing. But honestly, the food was really damn good. Looking forward to trying even more things on the menu tomorrow and hopefully seeing a bunch of people out there. And Tanny?
He's coming.
Yes.
You're not running the board tomorrow. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
Look at that. A lot of
it's coming out to the wall.
A lot of good info out there.
Going to come out and hang out.
That's how you know it's special if they're letting me go. So I hope to see you all out there tomorrow.
The listeners fought the fight. They demanded that Tanny be out there.
Well, they doxed Ryan Porth, and I can't co-sign that. But, you know, I get to go, so I'm happy about it.
You see that porn they made with his face on top of it? That didn't seem appropriate or necessary in any way. That was way over the line. Is
Russ,
that what you meant
by to put this in the air check?
Yeah. Leave this out when we're sending it to the client.
Well, you said doxed. I thought, isn't that a part of a potential doxing? Is that they do that?
It's not.
Shane, can you explain doxing to the olds real quick?
It's when you put someone's personal contact information, whether it be house, email, phone, out there into the public. That's it.
It's not when you manufacture.
No, do it for me.
What did you think it meant?
Well,
get specific.
Clearly.
With how you drew those two things as related. Clearly. And we're so sorry to the wall, by the way.
Oh, man, they got to be loving.
Tanny is coming to the wall, which will make up for Spiegs and things that he might say.
Are you saying I shouldn't
or
come?
Or do? No.
I want to come.
Well, I mean, you were like, I saw these chocolate chip cookies that were in circular form.
Yeah, what do you call these things? These chocolate chip cookies? Look, I don't know.
It was big.
It was cookies.
It was enormous and round, and it was in like a pie tin. That's what I was trying to say.
Oh my God! They've got these round cookies, and they've got these screens that project images onto them.
You know what, Danny?
They have speakers.
I'm going to dox you. And we all know what
porn
that
is. He going to be in speakers?
We all know what that means.
Yeah. We all know.
And he's going to be in porno for pirates. That's what I'm going to put him in.
Go dox yourself.
As an added bonus, if any other listeners want to carpool with me and Tanny, I'm taking the blue line to his house tomorrow, and he's driving me to Gurnee. So feel free to meet
us
at Tanny's house.
What time are you meeting? What time are you meeting at Tanny's? And what's his address? What's Tanny's address?
Well, you're going to dox him, I thought.
Well, I wouldn't do that to Tanny. I wouldn't put him in porn with a fake head on or anything. I wouldn't do that.
He's the real head, right?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you've already got that stuff that you did from the 60s, the 70s.
70s,
80s. The 80s.
Probably more.
I don't remember what it was. It might have been the
90s. Well, so we'll be at the wall tomorrow.
Yeah, so anyway, see you at the wall.
Hard Knocks is here tomorrow, boys. Yeah.
See, did you hear the Midday guys are doing a bingo card? It's a good idea.
It's a great idea.
It's a really good idea.
It's a good idea.
And they're going to be playing Hard Knocks bingo with their listeners.
It's smart.
I mean, could it be a station thing? Like, can we co-opt that and share along with the joy? I like those guys. I listen to their show.
Yeah, we should do it with Wani.
Go, just call it Wani.
Yeah, we should play Wani bingo.
Yeah, we could do that. I mean, I'll just play the Bernstein and Holmes bingo. I'll just be a participant in their game and promote it when it comes out.
Yeah, so, we can share
play along.
I'm sure we share a certain amount of listeners. There are a lot of people who listen to that show.
I would think so.
And then continue to listen to our show.
Yeah. So what do you think the free space is? Kevin Warren?
It's Caleb, right?
Caleb's probably the free space. Yeah.
Today, there was some hilarious name dropping from Pat Manley today that was misunderstood at different times. When he kept calling Julius Peppers Pep, and a variety of people, including Danny Parkins, thought he meant Pep Hamilton.
Yes.
That was amazing.
Julius Peppers.
Yeah, Pep.
Was more what I was thinking.
Yeah, it was more that guy.
Made a lot more sense.
Also, he talked about walking around the stadium with Caleb Haney, and then he started using Caleb. Just as a first name. He's got to go deeper than that. These days, you can't just say Caleb if you mean Caleb Haney.
Caleb Haney is not.
Nobody thinks that's what you mean.
And it's certainly not the cool Caleb.
So oh, no.
You got to say I was walking around with Caleb Haney to make it very clear.
Make it very, very clear.
His name dropping was incredible, though. There was barely a Hall of Famer of note. It was all special teamers.
Amazing. Amazing how many people came out to support Devin. And just, I'm so glad that all those guys were there, and a smiling Lovie Smith and all of that, and just
I was special teaming it up all during the week.
Everybody seemed to be special teaming it up all weekend long, and it just, man, and Manley, we barely had to ask him a question, man. Just like wind him up and let him go to
he
talk
was very
through the
excited,
weekend.
Very excited.
So cool.
Yeah, texted afterwards. I left this story out. All right, we'll do it next time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
our guys, Mully and Hall on Thursday and Friday being
there. They were
great. Along with Brandon Fryer, who apparently was a superstar, like bouncing around and getting people. Like they would come back from a second and be like, oh, wow, here's Tony Dungy. Okay, good job, Brandon. Okay, thank you.
Nice.
You know, like, so he was killing it, and it's, I mean, very, very cool thing to be tangentially a part of for the radio station.
There was a all-time call over the weekend that we will play in about 30 minutes. Tanny's open in 5 minutes. And our guy Jalen Johnson has beef. And there's already an on-the-field concern for the Bears. It's all coming up. Parker and Spiegel on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again?
With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.